Hi guys, and welcome to the Living Deeply podcast. This is a show sharing stories about travel and transformation, alignment, love and relationships, books and writing. I'm your host, Mirelle Parker. I'm a storyteller, author, splenic projector in human design, Capricorn with a Pisces moon and Aries ascending. I've been a transformational life coach and an English as a second language teacher for 18 years. I'm 43 years old and from Perth, West Australia, with an Indian mother and an Australian father. I've also had metastatic breast cancer for 8 years and been in an induced menopause for 5 years, to give you more than just the highlight reel. But I truly believe everything happens for a reason, or we can choose how we relate as the victim or the victor of our story, as my stories shall reveal. So today I'm going to share with you the story of the breakup that changed my life. So this story starts with uni. I went to university, the University of West Australia, and I studied. At first I wanted to study psychology, and I was doing my degree in that, but it was through an arts degree, so I was studying other subjects as well. And I ended up enjoying some of these subjects just as much as, or even more than the psychology sometimes in parts. And so I ended up doing half my degree in creative writing and the other half in, sorry, not creative writing, some one unit in creative writing in English literature, and the other half in psychology, and then just a minor in history, Greek history and Viking history. So when I finished uni, there was no job for me, because what kind of job could I get with that degree? So I set out looking, and I ended up, after one job applying for a bra shop, I ended up getting a job in an English school as a social activities officer. And I love this job because I got to organize events for the students, and I got to meet students from around the world, or at that time it was mostly from Switzerland, the German part, and Korea and Japan, and then other European countries as well. And later it also became South America and China and Thailand and other places. But at that time I started working there, and then after 6 months of working in the social activities, I saw that the teachers had such a great time with the students as well, and they got to spend all day with them. So I decided to become an English teacher, and I did the course, and within 3 more months I was started teaching English. At the same time, I met someone, a French guy, a young French guy. I was 22 and he was 18. And we started an intense relationship. It was that kind of honeymoon period, but it was only for 10 weeks because a few of my friends and I, my friend Leah and then Carla and Shanna, had planned this trip to travel around Europe and then go and live in London for a year or two, which is what a lot of young Australians do in their early 20s before they start their proper career. So after 10 weeks, we left and we went to Europe and we travelled around, and then the French boyfriend, he came back to Europe as well, back to France, and I met up with him and things were not going that well. So I ended up breaking up with him in Greece on the island of Corfu. And meanwhile, my friends and I were coming to the end of our trip. And also what happened when we were in Greece is that We were at the very last place that we were going to on our trip. We were tired by then and we had run out of money. And we were in Santorini and we were taking the ship back to go back to Italy where my friend Leah's auntie lived, which is, and her cousins, which is, was kind of a bit of a base for us to leave our stuff and before we went off to London. So as we were coming back on this ship, I remember I woke up in the middle of the night to go to the toilet, and this ship was really, it was kind of like a cargo ship or something, and there were people gathered around a TV that I saw in the middle of the night, and there was a picture of on the TV of a plane crashing into the building, and we didn't know what was had really gone on. I asked someone, and yeah, he said it was in New York and it was the Twin Towers, so everyone knows what that was. But we really didn't know what had happened. And then we had to, a long journey home, we had to, I think we landed in Athens, and then we had to catch this train across Greece. And then from there, we had to catch another boat over to Italy. And then from there, we were at the south, and then we had to catch another train back to Leah's auntie's place in L'Aquila. So by the time we got back there 2 days later, Leah's auntie was like, "Go home to your families, girls. It's World War III." But so we didn't, really didn't know what was happening, and there was only one computer there, and we were trying to take turns to email our parents or talk to them, decide what to do. But we ended up staying, and Leah and Carla and Shanna went to London, but I had some unfinished business with my ex-boyfriend. I still had feelings for him, and also I think I had left some belongings at his place in Lyon, in kind of the middle of France. So I had to travel back there, and maybe I didn't have belongings there. Maybe I just had to some unfinished business because I had to carry a huge suitcase and a backpack back there. Or maybe it was just the backpack that I carried back there. And then after that, I had to take the suitcase as well. Anyway, I ended up staying at his house for 6 weeks and I was deciding what to do. I was possibly going to live in France at that point, and the only point would be an au pair. The only way to do that would be to be an au pair, and I had an interview set up, but I then had to go to Paris and find out about getting the visa and how to go about becoming an au pair. So I took the train to Paris and I walked around and I just wasn't feeling it. So I didn't end up going to that appointment. So when I came back to Lyon, they were disappointed that I wasn't going to stay there because I'd become very close with his family as well. So I ended up going to London to be with my friends, and yeah, so I arrived in London, and because of September 11th, I couldn't get a lot of work as an English teacher. So I took a job in a bar in Marylebone in London. It was like a white scar bar, kind of. I can't really remember what this music was, but it was a kind of gastro pub. They had good food there, but yeah, so it was not a very full on, it was not a very full on kind of bar. It was a kind of place where you could actually sometimes sit and talk to the clientele that sat up at the bar, and then other times it was quite busy. So I worked and I wanted to go back to Lyon for Christmas. So I had about 10 weeks before working at the bar, and I was actually having a really good time. I was living with another friend, Emma, above another bar called Oblivion, and where she had worked, and we lived with all the staff at the bar. And I lived with my friend Shanna. She worked at a different bar. So it was very fun, actually. I would come home sometimes from working in my bar and the lights would be on at Oblivion. And so I would go in there and we'd have what's called a lock-in where they would lock the doors and we would just party there until the morning. But I still had feelings for my boyfriend, ex-boyfriend in France, and I wanted to go and spend Christmas with his family since I had been so close to them. I mean, I used to have a really hard time getting over the past, and this boyfriend was the one who told me this, that I am stuck in the past when I had a really hard time getting over him. I would think about the past and I would want it to be the same. So I didn't know how to change that at that point. Then I went back there. Actually, it was Christmas. So just before Christmas, a guy came into the bar and he was carrying a shopping bag, a young guy around my age. Cute. He was carrying a Christmas shopping bag and we had a conversation, we had good banter, I remember, and then that was it, and I went to France for Christmas, and then 2 weeks later, I came back, and you know, I was also there for my 23rd birthday in Paris with my ex-boyfriend and his cousin and his cousin's girlfriend, and I really kind of regretted or appreciated the difference then that my friends made me feel loved and accepted, and I didn't feel that with him. I didn't feel like I could truly be myself or that he appreciated me for that. And so I realized then that my place was with my friends in London. So I went back to London, and when I went back to the bar, the manager said that a note had been left for me. And the note was from the guy that I had talked to before I left. And he asked me, left his number and asked if I wanted to go out with him. So we went out and I was really flattered because I didn't think too much about it and I didn't think he would remember me. But we went out and we had a really good time. And after that, we started going out. And we were together, let's say, in London for 10 months when I lived there. And during that time, we were pretty tight and had a reasonably good relationship. And then my sister-in-law fell pregnant. And so I wanted to go home for the birth of the baby, my nephew, Dylan, and he was my first nephew, and I wanted to be there. And also my friend Leah, her family has a business that she was going back to join again, and so she was leaving to come back after 10 months, and so I came back with her. My boyfriend, the English one, decided that he wasn't ready for our relationship to end, so he came to Australia too. But it took him some time, maybe 2 months before his visa came through and he came. And he came with a friend as well. So from when we were in Australia, our relationship changed. So when we were in England, he was, I would say, more into me. I was into him, but he was the one who made more effort, came more to my house, and I felt pretty secure in the relationship. But then once he moved to Australia, there were all these new things going on, and he just didn't seem as into me anymore. So my ego really couldn't handle this. And when I talk about ego, I mean the egoic mind. that voice in the head that is constantly going, or at that time it was for me, and also the ego in the traditional sense as well. But I wanted him to be as into me as he was before, and nothing I did seemed to make that happen. So I ended up breaking up with him. And I thought when I broke up with him, as I often used to think, that would be the thing that made him really into me, made him see my value and my worth and be into me again. But as was usually the case, that didn't happen. So this went on for a couple of months where I was, you know, clinging on and upset, didn't want him. I was fine if we were not together, but I wanted to be best friends, and he was not allowed to be with anyone else either. So I would, my ego would get upset when he was, you know, interested in another girl. And the other thing was that we had the same friends. So since he'd moved there, he had become friends. Well, he was already friends with some of my friends, a lot of my friends, and he was then friends with even more of my friends when we moved to Australia. So it wasn't, I couldn't avoid him. And I didn't want to either. We still got along and I wanted to be friends. But yeah, didn't want anyone else to be with him either. Although I wanted to be with other people, so that's where I was at. But then what happened was he started seeing someone else. And that's when my ego really went crazy. I found out in a kind of dramatic way he'd been keeping a secret, and he had been like my friend, the guys that I had been friends with or were friends with knew about it, but just I didn't know about it and my girlfriends didn't know about it. So I found out one day and, you know, hysterically crying, and I did the things then, you know, he was seeing this other girl. I did the things that you may have done too, you know, the drive-by, the driving past the house, and just, I didn't know how to stop this. I didn't know how to make my mind stop this behavior. And I just wanted it to shut up, really. I just wanted to stop the repetitive thinking, and I just wanted to be happy. I just wanted peace. So ask and it is given. Quite soon after that, I saw an ad, a small ad in the newspaper for something, a seminar called Absolute Happiness. And it sounded like exactly what I needed. So I went along with my mum and my ex-boyfriend, who was still my friend. And I was the only one who was really affected by it. And I bought the book and went home and started applying the principles. And this is really the first time I learned how to use the power of the mind. And some of the exercises, it's a really great book actually, and I didn't really, it's called Absolute Happiness by Michael Romanjan Domenico, something like this. I have read it many times, but his name slips my mind. It's Michael Domenico Roland, that's right. And so I started applying the principles. Some of them is where you write out how you want your life to be, and then you read it, this life script, every day. And another one is visualization, vibrasonics, he called it. And then another one is where you write out these affirmations, and then what comes up afterwards, which is a way of accessing the subconscious mind and finding out what's there. So I started applying these principles, and before long I started to get over the ex, and my mind was more at peace. And then I was going to India with my parents for a month-long trip. And we were there to visit my grandmother in Mumbai, my Nana, Nana Hazel. And because I had read Absolute Happiness, And I also had read another book called Holy Cow, which is written by an Australian journalist. She used to work on Triple J, and she was, her partner was a journalist, and she was, her name is Sarah McDonald. Yeah, Holy Cow by Sarah McDonald. And her partner was a journalist, and he was stationed in India, and she was just there, and she was exploring all these different religious and cultural unique aspects of Indian culture and religion. So I read that book, and because of that, I wanted to explore all these different interesting things that were available. So one of these was a laughter club. So I don't know if you've ever heard about that, laughter yoga. So what it is, yeah, it's like where you go along to a meeting and you do all this fake laughter, and then it becomes real laughter. And there's different exercises that you do. So I went along. We used to go with my mum and dad. I had a really nice routine actually in India. And I think I would wake up at like 6 and then go for this long walk around the area of Bandra West. It's quite near the water, and there's these beautiful old colonial homes that are there, and very interesting architecture, and a lot of greenery actually as well, palms and other kind of beautiful trees. And in India, you know, there's just so much life and stuff happening on the streets, so much that's interesting people to look at and to meet as well. So we went to the laughter club. We found there was a laughter club just on the Bandra West foreshore, and I wanted to go. So my mum and dad came along one morning. And we were there that morning, and then it was mostly older people, retirees or perhaps in their 50s and above, that were in this laughter club, and it was a real social event. They would have tea afterwards, and it was very fun to do, especially with my parents. And that day we were there, they said, come back the next day because there is an Australian documentary crew that's coming, and they're going to be filming a documentary on happiness, and that's why they're going to come tomorrow, so come back then. So that was quite exciting because, you know, I've always really been into like celebrities, and I always felt like I wanted to live an interesting life. I don't think I had many goals except that I wanted my life to be interesting. And for a while, I thought I had to be famous for that to happen, you know, because these people seem to be living the interesting life. So I went to the Laughter Club the next day, and they were filming the documentary, and we were just standing around, and one of the guys, the sound engineer, came to talk to me, and he said that the director had wanted to interview me because I was the youngest by 40 years or so, and he was wondering what this young Indian woman is doing at this laughter club. But the sound engineer was actually Indian, and he said to the director that I wasn't a local, because he could tell from the way I stood and the way I held myself and the clothes that I wore that I wasn't actually a local Indian girl. But we started talking, the sound engineer and I, and I was telling him about, you know, the things that I wanted to explore or whatever. And so he asked me if I wanted to go to this Juhu Beach, this famous beach, that afternoon and hang out. So I ended up going with him, and long story short, but we ended up becoming friends. And then at the end of my month in India, I ended up staying on because, he saw my photos one day and said that he liked to put my perspective on the photos. I just had like a regular, automatic camera. And he asked me if I wanted to learn how to use an SLR camera. And I was a very creative child, but since I was 13 and went to high school, I didn't take really creative subjects because there were other things that I wanted to explore, like French. And I also used to love acting as well. When I was a kid, I used to write plays and perform them with my cousins and also with my friends at school sometimes. And so when I went to high school, I first took theatre arts, and then I didn't like it, so I wasn't doing theatre arts. And then it was too formal and strict for me, and I just didn't have the confidence to do it. And then I really stuffed my creativity down, and I won't go into now what I did instead. I'll save that story for another day. But I didn't really have much of an outlet for my creativity. And when I was 15 or 16, 17, I became good friends with some people who were artists. And so I used to help one of my friends with her photography projects, and I would help think up ideas and on the spot, that kind of stuff. But I was more the subject than the person behind the camera. So the fact that this guy who was a sound engineer and he had worked with creative people all his life actually saw this in me, this creativity, made me, when you're 23, I don't know about you, but I didn't know myself very well then, and the fact that someone saw something in me, something creative, even if it was just because he wanted me to stay in India, or if he really saw that in me, then that was such a blessing to me. So I ended up staying in India in order to practice using the SLR camera, and I would go around Mumbai taking photos, or Bandra West and the area where he was from as well. And I would go around taking photos and then was practicing to get better at it. Just going to take a sip of water. I ended up helping him out on a documentary shoot. We went to the very east of India, to Nagaland and also to Assam and to the Bangladeshi border, the wettest place in the world. And I helped him on this documentary for the UN, where I got to take the still photos. So that was probably the highlight of my time there. And at the same time, he was also getting me to help him in his sound studio because he thought that I would get bored in Mumbai. So he wanted me to learn about sound and help him. And I was, interested. I was interested in a lot of things and thought yes, and this was kind of cool. And my ex-boyfriend, the English one, had been really into music and making music, and so maybe that was one of the reasons why I thought this was, making me cool as well. So I was helping him in his sound studio a little bit, and I learned how to use Pro Tools. And then one weekend, he left me alone the weekend while he went off to do work on a project somewhere, work on a job. And I ended up, so I was, the job he left me to do, he had all this old Hindi vinyl, and he left me to record this Hindi vinyl onto the computer. And that was the job. And I was so bored that a book started coming out of me. I just started to, this story started being written, and I ran home and just spent the rest of the weekend writing this book, this story, which was set in India. And when he came back, I showed it to him, and he said, "This is really great for a first draft." And the thing was that he had dated a screenwriter, a Canadian screenwriter, for 3 years, and so he knew what he was talking about. So he said, he really encouraged me and said, "Now you really have to focus on this." And he was really serious. And, you know, like, he was really valuing my creativity, and no one had ever done that before, you know. I had an Indian mother, and for her, she had come from a situation where her father had died when she was 12 and left the family without money. And so for her, it was really important just to have a stable job and a regular income. And so that's what had been encouraged in me when I wanted to do, and I was a bit whimsical as well, you know, like I didn't really know until this point that that was really what I wanted to do. And so I started dedicating myself to writing and writing this story. But after 3 months, I wanted to go back to Australia, and so I went back, and I thought that I would continue writing, but I really didn't have the discipline at that time. I was 25 years old, and there were other things that I wanted to do, like dance, and I was doing hip-hop dancing, and I wanted to, then I had a plan to go to New York and to this hip-hop dance school, which I'll tell you about another time because that's another story. But I thought, I can do this writing later, and I will be, you know, like, you don't have to be young to be able to be a writer. So I put that one on the back burner while I went off and did the hip-hop dancing at the hip-hop dance school. So there are so many different parts of this story, and I will tell you more of the parts of the story as we go on with the podcast. I hope you have enjoyed this story for today, and I look forward to connecting with you again, sharing more stories on the Living Deeply podcast. So if you enjoyed this, please leave me a review, leave me some stars and a review, maybe 5-star if you really enjoyed it. And if you could share it too, I would be so grateful. Take a screenshot of this and share it on your social media, tag me in it, whatever you need to do. Thank you so much, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.